enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good and fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ on CBS Sky Radio. We're here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and we do appreciate you listening today. We have a great show, and I am at the CBS headquarters in Michigan, and CJ is in Seattle, and I want to welcome you all to Fired Up with CJ. Before I go to CJ, I want to give you her website. As we all know, it's fireduppwithcj.com. If you go to her website, you can see she has archive shows, she has upcoming shows, events, and things she has going on. So please, while you're listening to the show today, take a moment and go to her website and see everything she has going on there. I was just on it today, CJ.
You were?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Just looking around, seeing what you had going on. And
okay.
It's funny. I forget about past shows sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I go on different websites, and I go on everyone's Facebook, and I stalk all the hosts on our station and everything like that. I always say I'm a cyber stalker, and I just want to tell people she has past shows, she has great guests. You know, check out some of the shows and information you had there.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of feeling a little bit crazed right now about the school year beginning. Are you doing the same thing with your daughter?
Oh, yes. I am running out the door after your show today to go to open house to meet all the teachers. And she's in high school, but this is for the parents so we can go and make sure we have everything for our children. And
yes, I have that tomorrow.
Yeah, and I have it tonight. And my daughter, the Virgo, I always call her my Virgo because she's, Mom, what time are you leaving? Mom, what time are you leaving? Mom, what time are you leaving? And she just got her driver's license this week. So,
whoa.
Yeah, so we have that going on. But
wow.
I'm like, we will be there. I promise you. I'm never late for anything. It's all good. But yeah, the back to school.
Yeah.
Hustle and bustle and getting everything organized.
Okay, it's pure, utter chaos. And I can tell you that our current guest, Richard Moss, his book helped me this morning because I was writing the script for this interview. And frankly, it was the only moment of inner stillness and calm probably in the last 2 or 3 days. So.
Yeah. Well, you have younger children.
My
youngest is in high school. So I've been through that where you have to fill out all the paperwork for the children. You have mounds of paperwork. Now I just give it to them and say, you do it.
Yes.
I'll sign. You tell me where to sign.
No, that happened yesterday. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. Here, fill this all out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I understand that. And I know our guest, I always walk around going, how do I shut it off? Especially at night. How do you shut it off?
Yes. And that's exactly what our guest, Richard Moss, is talking about. Inside out healing. It's about how do we actually, let's face it, the answers are within ourselves. I know that we constantly look for the answers outside ourselves, but really the truest and the purest answers are within ourselves. And how do we shut off all of it? All of the forms that we have to fill out, all the daughters that are asking, sons that are asking for things, driving all over the place. You know, how do we actually keep calm and still? And in the evening, like yesterday evening around 3, I was up thinking about who knows what. It was insane, insane. But I was thinking about Richard, our current guest, who is a renowned physician turned master healer. And today he's going to share with us a process for us to create our own inner silence. Welcome, Richard.
Jay, thank you. I'm sorry I called in a minute or two late. I apologize if I made you nervous.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't make me nervous at all.
We're
just talking. Sandra and I are just chatting along. So, presence. People use it all the time. Some people just think it's the thing you get during Christmas. what is presence? Help us understand what, you know, since you are a master in presence, what is it?
Presence is very distinct from being aware as an ego. You know, you and I, if we operate just from our names, I look out the window, I I hear your voice now. I'm talking on a phone. I look out the window, see the trees and the sky and so forth. We're always in our bodies. We're always present, but we're not very deeply present. So I would say when we start to use the word like really presence, we're talking about a level of awareness that's deeply embodied. So the quality of presence is that the mind sees every perception or where every perception is vivid. And at the same time, the mind is spacious, vast. Now, if I take a medical education like I had, we learn to focus on information. A person working in the stock market is focusing, focusing, focusing. A mother in a kitchen, focusing, focusing, focusing. But they're not present truly because they're not spacious. Spacious means your mind is so vast, it truly has no limit. You're aware of every thought that's coming through your mind, and you either select to be part with that, to participate with that thought and identify with that thought and become the emotional effect or the sensation aroused by that thought, or you observe it's just a thought. So presence, when you're so focused and spacious, every perception is vivid, every sensation is vivid, everything moving through your mind is vivid, and when you're that present, there are very, very few thoughts. And another way to talk about presence is, if something, I'm sure our listeners have watched exceptional athletes, well, they make it look easy, and yet their bodies are extraordinarily awake and simultaneously relaxed. So when we're truly present, not only is every perception vivid and the mind spacious, but the equivalent of that spacious mind is a body that's completely without any tension. It's so relaxed, and yet it's so awake, so completely alert and ready, that it's sort of like, you know, that image in some people will recognize it from Karate Kid, where the little boys, the student is learning how to catch flies with chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
That ready. You
know, yeah, it's a yoga teacher once explained.
Fly out of the air. And yet, when most people are ready like that, they are very tense. And therefore very narrowed, very constricted. So truly to be present, in the sense we're going to discuss it and how you practice it, is that the mind can focus, is focused, every perception, the sensation is very distinct, very vivid, but it is not narrowed. It's vast. It's wide open. And the body is very relaxed and ready to catch a fly in that moment in the air. Step out from in front of a car. Grab a child that's dashing away. You miss absolutely nothing. The body moves without thought, like a martial artist, like any champion athlete.
So what brought to mind when you were talking about in yoga, they have this idea of doing and being at the same time. And so with yoga, you're doing a move where you have to be completely focused and your body has to be relaxed and balanced in order to do a lot of the moves, or you can't do the moves at all. And so or you get hurt because your mind has to be completely monofocused on the task, which is, you know, maybe aligning your body and holding it sideways with your hand off the floor and your leg stuck up in the air. And so it's hard to do that during the day, though. And I think that, you know, I think actually what's interesting is I don't know if I'm deeply present or deeply embodying it. I think I'm paying attention, but I think paying attention is different. When I'm hearing your description of presence, where you're spacious and vast and open and kind of picking up everything. I mean, how many people
When Eckhart Tolle used the expression, the power of now, I mean, the oldest teaching in the world, but he hit a note. The trouble is the word now is just a complete abstraction. What's the power of now? The power of now is that, using your expression, you're paying attention. That's an aspect of it. But if you're paying attention because you're anxious about what's going to happen, that's not really presence. That's contraction. And so can you pay attention in such a way that you miss almost nothing? Rather than paying attention for something? Because paying attention can just be focusing. And focusing is only half the story. There is no such thing as the now. It's a completely abstract concept. What you experience right now depends on whether your body's ready and relaxed. If it's ready and tense, then you're nervous, easily made irritable. Your nervous system gets easily provoked by loud noises or the tone of voice of your partner or the way a child talks to you or how the boss throws you an assignment because you are, you know, ready, but you aren't relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the mind. If we use the same, the body and the mind are not separate, but we use a different language to talk about them. When every perception is completely vivid, and your peripheral vision is just as engaged as your macula, as the thing that's right in front of you that you're looking at, and you know that the part of a person that's listening to our voices right now is very hard to find. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I ask the audience, find the part of you that's hearing our voices. If I'm in a room and I ask that question, sometimes people's eyes go up because they're thinking. Sometimes all of a sudden a stillness falls over the room. Almost always a stillness falls over the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because the question isn't a question you can answer with a thought. The
mm-hmm.
question actually changes the quality of your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say to our audience, find the part of you that's hearing our voices. In that split second, you become aware in a different way.
Yeah, I definitely, when I did that, I felt the silence within me. Here's the thing that I find tricky. There's kind of this spaciness that I think is also, because it's the tension between the two, because I can get super relaxed and get kind of spacey, where I'm not thinking about anything. Someone will say something to me I'm hearing, but I'm so relaxed that it's a balance between these two things. Because I when I think of the place that you're talking about where I'm so relaxed, like after a massage, let's say, that's when my body is the most relaxed, I wouldn't describe myself as focused either. And it seems like you're asking to be in an in-between place between those two things.
What we're trying to do in our conversation right now is educate ourselves mm-hmm. and educate our listeners. So, yes, everybody knows what it's like to work a long day
mm-hmm.
and have being focused all day and being emotionally aroused all day long by various things. Someone else's behavior doesn't emotionally arouse us. Our judgment of their behavior is what emotionally arouses us.
Mm-hmm.
So we judge constantly ourselves and other people
mm-hmm.
and the situation and the job. I was just doing a one-on-one with a woman from Europe, and it was mostly about her story about her career.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to work and makes herself exhausted because she thinks it's not a job that's really using her skills. And because she thinks that, she exhausts herself.
Mm.
So what most people haven't developed at the end of a busy day like that is that when they go into relaxation, they do exactly what you said. They get spacey.
Mm-hmm.
They have to lose themselves in the TV series. I love TV
mm-hmm.
series. You know, well, certain TV series. The TV's gotten, you know, the shows have gotten just so sophisticated, so interesting, so well written and directed.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different universe than when I was watching TV in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, I hear you. But when you said so, people relax, like they think of this kind of, okay, I'm present because I'm all relaxed and I'm spacing out watching TV, but that's not really being present either, but it is that relaxed.
Not at all. It's not at all. So I'll give you an example of extraordinary presence. The man, his name is Ueshiba, he's dead now quite a long time, that founded Aikido.
Mm-hmm.
In the final stages of when he would accept you as a student, and in the final stages of his life, he was an old man, and like all old men, our prostate glands get bigger, and our ability to hold urine gets smaller, and so we get up in the night to pee, sometimes a couple of times. Yes. Well, Ueshiba would get up in the night to urinate, walk very quietly in his slippers through the dormitory room where the students slept to the bathroom. And if every one of those students at any time of the dead of night didn't sit up instantly in bed as he walked through, they went home.
Wow.
Okay, so that's... Now, Ueshiba, even in his 70s, could throw men, six and seven at a time, half his age, who had been studying martial arts for, at that point, 10 and 15 years. He could throw them around like they were toys.
Mm.
Because not anything he ever did with a movement came from a thought. And he didn't use energy in the normal sense, his physical energy. His body and his being and the environment and his opponents were all one singular state of consciousness. So that's the mind in spaciousness and the body in profound relaxation. And he was trying to teach that to his students. So you have to be able to go to sleep at night and get the nourishing rest you need. At the same time, be aware enough of your external environment. Special forces soldiers that work in extraordinary situations, they are trained to do this. They don't necessarily get to the same depths that Ueshiba did in his, and his very few close disciples in terms of this depth. I certainly don't have this depth, though I will tend to awaken in the night very easily if there's something that's not appropriate. But the ability to be totally relaxed at the end of the day depends on how all day long you let go of the arousal created by thoughts that make you angry or resentful or hurt or bitter or anxious about the future or judgmental of someone else or sad about the past, regretful about the past, guilty about the past, and on and on and on. We are stimulating ourselves with thought. And at the same time, when natural and normal feelings come up inside of us, we're so far away from our bodies we don't even recognize them.
And actually, we're going to have to close on that fantastic note. We will be right back after the break, and we'll continue our conversation on presence.